when you break records on the radio, there are monitoring stations that do that for you.
Right.
What are monitoring stations?
Monitoring stations are stations that are monitored primarily by the Nielsen Group, which is Billboard magazine. In country music, there are 112 stations across America that they call monitored stations. If your song, your record is not being played on any of those stations, you're not going to see any chart action. I don't care if the 2,800 other radio stations are playing it 12 times a day. They have another 100 stations below that called the breakthrough stations. If you get on that, that means that maybe if you do well there, you might get on the monitored stations. It costs a lot of money to get a record in the top 10. It goes to number one, you've probably spent maybe $1 million.
How do they track that so you get your money?
You get your money by the sales of the records.
Yeah.
You don't get paid anything on the radio.
Did you always trust that, sales of records? How do I trust these numbers?
Well, that's another program.
All right. Branson, Missouri. There's a great story there. The Oaks and Roy Clark became part of that community.
Well, Roy was the very first big-name artist to go over there and build his own theater and started this whole thing of other theaters with other artists that came in, eventually Mel Tillis, Ray Stevens, the Osmonds, and everybody came in and built. But Roy was the very first one. Before that, it was Steve Presley, the Presley family, who'd been there forever, and the Ballknobbers, the two still going strong every night of the week. Country music, comedy, playing, dancing, singing, fiddling, banjo and stuff. It's a rounded out show. Roy brought a different type of show, and he brought a regular country music show. There's, I think, 60 theaters now in Branson. Most of them are anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000. The Oak Ridge Boys have been part of the community there for, you know, they played a date at Presley's Theater probably 25 years ago, you know. But the last few years, the last 15 to 20 years, we've been playing the main theaters there, played the Palace, the Grand Palace, until they closed. And now we have our own theater there. A gentleman by the name of Gene Bicknell has a number of theaters. He owns the Mansion Theater, and he owns the Oak Ridge Boys Theater, which is called the Oak Ridge Boys Theater, but it's owned by this group of people.
So is your managing still part of what they do there, I guess?
Oh, yeah, sure. And we try to design special events and programs. Last year we did 3 weddings on stage. We had a walk for health where we walked from the theater down to the Branson Landing. So every time we're in there, we try to have some event that goes on. We're there 27 days this year, 2010, at 9 different times.
Where do the Oak Ridge Boys live?
They live in Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Nashville.
So all 4 of them,
all
families,
4
live in that area?
Yeah, within pretty close proximity of each other.
Are they back and forth a lot together when they're not singing?
There are certain things that they do together, their families do together, but the guys are on the road 150 yeah. days a year, so they're with each other on that bus. And even the funny thing on the bus is they're all, BlackBerry and iPods. So a lot of times, instead of even carrying on conversation on the bus, they're texting each other back and forth. Where are we going to stop for lunch, or how far to the next town, whatever it is.
I was talking about rejection earlier, but there's a story we'll call the Bob Freed story, Salt Lake City and the Lagoon.
Well, the Bob Freed story can just go over and over and over. My book, the Star Maker book, which is really a chronicle of how you can make it in the music business. John Woolley helped me put that together, and it's published by Tate Publishing Company. But in talking about things about rejection and talking about constant promotion, layered marketing, and whatever it is that we say is important to build your career, I illustrate a lot of this with just stories that have happened to me. Well, one of the places in my early days with Hank Thompson was always to try to play places where country music had never been before. The Lagoon Ballroom in Salt Lake City was one of those places that I knew of because it played all the big bands, Lionel Hampton, Woody Herman, Count Basie and all that. I found out the operator's name was a guy by the name of Bob Freed. And I would write him and send him information and things, and he would very politely say, you know, we don't use country music here. We never have and don't intend to. Well, I just don't take no for an answer. So every time that Hank would have a number one record in the Billboard charts, I would circle it and send it to him. Then I would send him a new record, and I would send him a story out of a paper, whatever it was, you know, good review on Hank Thompson. Maybe it was a theater. Finally, he wrote me a letter and said, I'm going to buy Hank Thompson and his band on the date you suggested. But I'm so sick and tired of getting your sales pitches on me that once this is played and I've lost a lot of money, I want you to forever take me out of your Rolodex. Well, needless to say, it was a big success. We just had people hanging out the windows, you know. We became good friends after that and laughed about that situation many times. He said, I really bought that date just to get rid of you. He said, you were so persistent, and I knew that I wasn't ever going to shut you up unless I bought Hank Thompson. And he said, fortunately, it turned into a great success, and you and I become good friends. I play Hank in here once a year. So your no's, you've got to turn around and make them a yes.
Persistence, persistence, something else we call sweet persistence.
But it's more challenging to me to go after somebody that you know is not going to buy you than it is somebody you know wants what you have, and all you have to do is call and negotiate the deal. It's a lot more interesting to make an interesting point and make a sale.
You enjoy that challenge.
Oh, I do, yeah. That's part of, I think, any salesperson is, instead of buying the Chevrolet, you're going to be buying a Cadillac. Well, that's what they're going to try to sell you.